Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. You can also reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. If you're looking for a great time this weekend or any day, highly recommend you go up to Sasquatch and Wildcard Casinos up in Blackhawk. They're giving away a Ford Mustang RTR on Father's Day, which is Sunday, June 20th. If you don't want it, they're going to give you nearly $23,000 in cash instead. And we're going to give you another reason to go up there. We're going to give away $200 in slot play in the second hour of the show. The first four callers are going to get $50 each. Well, Mace, we have two enormous stories today, don't we?
We do. And neither of them are particularly positive.
No.
To say the least.
No. I would say, though, one is a little bit worse than the other one.
Yeah, because one is, I mean, you don't want to say tragic, but one is just depressing. It's crushing for the hopes that a lot of us had, and let's get right to it.
And well, we'll tease real quick what we're going to be talking about in the second segment, which is the Broncos are not going to have voluntary workouts as of right now because of COVID. We'll get into that at about 4:15. In the meantime, time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
News broke about 9 o'clock this morning. Jamal Murray out for the season with a torn ACL. This prompted odds makers to jump all over this story. The Nuggets' odds to win the title 24 hours ago was 14-1. And now it is 100-1. Do you honestly see a chance for the Nuggets to win a title without Murray?
No.
Yeah.
The entire definition of success for this season has been recalibrated now.
And what is it now?
I'd say if they manage to win a first round series, you're absolutely ecstatic.
I disagree. Well, it depends on who you play, too.
Yes. But getting to the conference semifinals, you can step back and say you did it 3 years in a row. That's the team standard. Individually, I think this is a chance for Michael Porter Jr. to step forward.
And he has been.
Yes, and even more. This the long-term positive of this is that it might accelerate the growth of MPJ.
Here's the thing. If they wind up playing the Lakers in the first round and LeBron and Anthony Davis are healthy, that's a bad matchup for the Nuggets. For this reason alone, who covers Jokic?
You're better off against the Clippers.
You are. Well,
and that's sort of, and that frankly, that's what you have to be hoping for right
well,
now.
But let's take a step back, because you will likely have Anthony Davis on Jokic,
yep,
and LeBron James on MPJ, and then everybody else better find a way to chip in with that once they get to the playoffs, and I believe they will. Or let's just talk about the rest of the regular season. Give me one thing and one thing only they will miss the most about Jamal Murray not being on the floor. Because to me, there's only one answer. There is only one answer for me.
We may have differing opinions.
Yeah, but my answer's right.
Even though, well, yeah, that's just great. Thank you.
You're entitled to have your own opinion as long as you agree with mine.
Well, what they will miss most is even though he is not the most consistent player, something we've often discussed, they will miss the explosive capability to take over a game and will the team almost on his own that we saw come to the fore in the playoffs last year.
You're half right. Half right.
What's the half that I'm missing
The half
exalted one.
The half that you're that well, no, you're going to agree with me. You will trust me. You'll agree with me on this. You are right that he can go on a run by himself, 10, 12 straight points. Every team that is a serious title contender has to have a guy on the team that wants that last shot and believes he can make that last shot and can make that last shot. Will Barton wants it. I just don't necessarily trust him to take it. Jokic.
Will Barton is the kid whose eyes are bigger than his stomach.
Correct. Jokic is willing to take the last shot, he doesn't create his own shot like a Jamal Murray can.
He'd like to create for somebody else.
Correct. He is not the alpha male dominant type of guy like a LeBron, like a Kobe, like a Jordan, where he just grabs you by the throat. Jokic will defer. For Murray, he wants that last shot, and he has proven he can make it. Mm-hmm. And when there's 5 seconds left in the game, for as great as Jokic is, you want the ball to be in Murray's hands. You want him to take that shot. And now they don't have that. They have it in a way with Jokic. But it's Murray who's the guy. And every championship team has to have a guy like that with a tie game, down by one, down by two, and a guy who is going to sling a blue arrow and win a game for you. And he's that guy for them. And that's what they're going to miss the most. That's why I said you're half right. And I was joking, clearly. No. What anything that you said, you know, I would have clearly disagreed with. But my point is, yes, he can. He's a one-man fast break, talking about Murray, when it comes to putting up numbers in bunches.
Like he can get, basically what he showed last year is he can single-handedly turn the team around.
He can.
Like, the but team's in a spiral and he can yank it back.
But Jokic can do the same thing. Right. Jokic can do the same thing. Both are capable. But who are you going to give the ball to at 7 seconds to go? You're not going to give it to Jokic first. It's not that he can't be your first option.
It's going to go through Jokic.
It's going to go through Jokic to who? To Murray.
Ideally to Murray. This is
only to Murray.
Well,
unless he's double teamed.
You don't have that option right now. That's my point.
And that's why losing him is so big.
And what I said about kind of having to microwave MPJ a little bit. He has the best chance of anybody on that roster of being the guy.
Well, he's already one of the best pure jump shooters in the league.
Right, but already. But it's different to do it when there's 1 second left.
No question.
And does he have that capability in him? I think he does, but this is something where you kind of thought he can grow into it. And he can grow gradually because you have Murray there and because you have Jokic. He's going to have to grow up now a bit faster than everybody anticipated.
You know what? I agree. For them to make a deep run, he has to. Let him just go at his own pace. I don't want this guy forcing shots because he has to grow up faster. I think it is fair to say they're going to have a very difficult time contending for a title this year.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is about an 8 to 12 month injury to get back on the court.
And that's the thing that went through my mind is seeing him there. It's not just this year you've screwed. The best case scenario.
Yeah.
Is that he is back on the court at Christmas. Best case.
Oh, that's being overly optimistic.
That is just over 8 months.
Yeah.
The reality is you may be
probably around February.
You're looking at the All-Star break perhaps next year before you get Jamal Murray back. Now,
right.
And then even when he comes back, you're looking at him taking some time to kind of ramp up to be ready to go. Your goal, frankly, is to have Jamal back to being Jamal Murray by the time the playoffs start next year. And it's daunting to think in those terms because we're literally talking about a calendar year here. But realistically, that's the goal, that when you get to the postseason, you're not worried about the seeding next year.
Right.
You're saying our goal is to make sure that Jamal is healthy, 100%, and firing on all cylinders when it really matters. Even though the last, as shaky as the recent games have been, I think as this team settles without Jamal, it's a playoff team. It's not a team that's pushing for a top three seed. It's a playoff team at about a 6 or a 7.
Help me out with the math here. Okay. When did last season begin? Around Christmas?
It began Christmas Day, right before then.
Not this season. The COVID season.
Oh, the COVID season began in late October before Halloween. Because it was a normal year.
That's right. And then they stopped.
They stopped in March and they came back around August the 1st.
Okay. And when was Kevin Durant ready? Because remember, he got injured in the playoff game and he didn't play at all last season.
Right. They didn't even have him in the bubble, right?
Right.
Yeah, he didn't play.
Right.
So there you, that was basically, by the time he came back, it was 19 months.
Yeah.
But he could have been ready sooner, perhaps. Some of that was the Nets just kind of had consciously decided he's not coming back this year. And also, when you're talking about KD, you are talking about a player who's older than Jamal Murray. Jamal should be able to come back quicker than KD just because he's a younger player.
I wasn't here for this, but we rarely, shout out our phone number for phone calls, but I wasn't here for this, and Mace, you were not here for this. And I think, Danny, you were in diapers when this happened. I want to know from Broncos fans, what is more gut-wrenching to you as a Denver sports fan? Knowing that the Nuggets look like they could make a serious run at a title, but now Murray is out for the season, or back in 1999, even though Elway had retired, Terrell Davis shreds his knee, and you knew the playoffs were completely out of the question or making any type of run. Which, as a Denver sports fan, was more heartbreaking for you? This injury, where the Nuggets have a really good chance to make a run, or no John Elway, and I understand that, but you still have Terrell Davis. He's out.
They were already 0-3.
Right.
At that point. And so the interesting thing there is it was already kind of teetering, and then that basically ended all hopes.
Coming up after the break, speaking of the Broncos, a lot of the Broncos players, including Drew Lock, said they were excited about the offseason. That one full offseason with this offense, man, the things that they could do. Well, now this offseason has been cut short because the Broncos players have said, we don't like the setup and we are not going to be showing up for voluntary workouts because of COVID. I believe only two teams have done this, the Broncos and Seattle. We'll see what the other teams do. What does this mean for the Broncos? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew. I'm working on a
dream. Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, rmfp.com. In the meantime, right now is the perfect time to schedule your AC tune-up. My suggestion, go with Mighty Plumbing and Heating. You can get a 30-point inspection and safety check for just $69. I personally think that's the best deal in town. Plus, Mighty Plumbing and Heating will meet or beat any written offer. Mighty can also take care of all of your plumbing and heating repairs and replacements with Rudd, the best equipment that's engineered tough and built to last. I trust the owner, Kevin. He's a terrific guy. He started this family-owned business, but I'm not the only one that believes in Kevin. There's a reason Mighty has over 150 five-star reviews. Schedule your appointment online at mightyph.com. That's mightyph.com. And don't forget about that 30-point AC inspection for just $69. Stay cool this summer. Yeah, do it with Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
I think it's more than fair to say a lot of Broncos players were talking even as far back as January after the season saying, you know what? We can't wait for a full offseason specifically for this offense, specifically for Drew Locke. But now the NFLPA put out a statement on behalf of the Broncos saying that without adequate protocols in place, the Broncos players will be exercising their right not to participate in voluntary off-season workouts. The vote, from what I understand, was not unanimous. We saw what Alexander Johnson happened to put on Twitter today, although he retracted it. I know that was kind of a burr in your saddle.
Well, I don't have a problem with objecting to being at OTAs or so, or saying, yeah, we should be there. I have a problem when someone puts out the quote plan-plandemic. It's a part of the disinformation and misinformation that unfortunately has plagued too many people on this. And that was the part I objected to. Now, not so much, you know, saying, okay, hey, we should be there. I think an interesting thing, though, it's not just the comment today from Johnson. It's that you go back to the day after the regular season ended, and you had a slew of players, including both Bradley Chubb and Noah Fant, who spoke of the benefits of gathering for OTAs and expressed their hope that the team would be able to gather. And certainly, we know about it from people like Pat Shurmur. He talked last year about missing 1,000 snaps, but you had players talking about the need to get back together and gather and work together. So it's interesting. This is how it worked out. Like you said, not unanimous.
Right.
But for the sake of unity, it's probably for the best that they're standing together on this.
Brandon McManus, who is the player rep, talked about this extensively. One of the things that he said was, yes, we are the first one in the door, but there are going to be a lot of teams following us. Mm-hmm. So far, there's only been one team, the Seattle Seahawks. Let's say for the sake of argument, it's the Broncos, the Seahawks, and a handful of other teams. Mm-hmm. That's a huge competitive disadvantage, don't you think?
It is. And it was interesting. Frankly, it was interesting that the Broncos were the first one through the wall on this.
Why?
Because you had players that over the last few months have publicly talked about the need to gather and get together and have the offseason work. Now, one thing that was apparent last year is that if you were a younger team with younger core players like the Broncos possess, you were going to lose more from not gathering than, say, if you're a veteran team. You know, and even a veteran team with a new player, like the Bucs, for example, brought in a veteran quarterback in Tom Brady, a veteran tight end, Rob Gronkowski. But the fact that you had guys that had gone through it all before made it easier for them to get away with their only work together being a handful of guys working out on a high school field, which basically was the extent of their team work together on their own, was kind of like the Peyton Manning passing camp. Quarterback and some of his targets getting together on a high school field and working on their routes. Drew Locke and some teammates did some of that last year too.
Oh, and I remember somebody by the name of Andrew Mason,
yes,
who got all bent out of shape at Tom Brady and bent out of shape at Drew Brees. But when Drew Locke's name came up, you didn't seem to be as worried or upset.
it didn't really come up, but I
no, it did come up. We talked about it on the show.
It didn't come it didn't come up at the same time, but I was disappointed
that they weren't following
the rules. The problem was thing was the NFLPA and the NFL put out protocol that said that they weren't supposed to gather.
Right.
They're not going to put that out this time. And one thing that I have gathered today is that a significant kind of worry for the players right now isn't gathering in small groups. It's gathering at the full 90.
I got a crazy question that I don't know the answer to. And maybe you know the answer to. Or maybe I'm just completely naive. I know a lot of people younger than me that have already been vaccinated. Mm-hmm. I got my vaccine shot today, the first one. You've already had your vaccine shot. You're getting ready for your second one. I'm not suggesting that NFL players are getting moved up to the front of the line, but I think there's some wink, wink, nudge, nudge, where these players can find a way to get this happen.
Well, we've had teams receive vaccines together.
There we go.
We've seen it. Rockies already got their first
shot. So at the risk of sounding completely naive, if you're completely vaccinated, what are you so worried about?
I think this is something deeper than just the moment. I think the NFLPA is trying to use this to eliminate off-season work altogether.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that is very, very cynical, Mace. That would usually come out of my mouth.
It's not cynical, though. J.C. Treader, who is the president of the NFLPA, of course, you got DeMaurice Smith, who is the head of the NFLPA, but there's always a union president who is an active player, and that is J.C. Treader of the Browns. He has talked repeatedly about expressing the PA's sentiment that because the quality of play on a league-wide basis last year was unaffected. Yeah, it hurt a young team like the Broncos, but stepping back and viewing it from a 35,000-foot,
didn't hurt Justin Herbert.
What?
Didn't hurt Justin Herbert.
Didn't hurt Joe Burrow.
Exactly.
Yeah, those guys had pretty good seasons.
They were pretty good, yeah.
Justin Jefferson,
he was pretty good.
As a receiver, had a great year.
He sure did.
You know, some rookies did still fare very well.
I got news for you. I'll be completely honest. I don't know if a full offseason would have helped Jerry Jeudy not drop 5 passes in a game.
Might have helped the timing between him and Drew Lock, and clearly the timing between the two of them was off.
Yeah, but that's not new dropping passes.
No, but you start expecting to go a pass in one spot. It's not there. You get frustrated.
Jefferson's a rookie, isn't he?
Justin Jefferson was a rookie.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Working with a veteran quarterback in Kirk Cousins. But yes.
That has nothing to do with dropping a ball. Bad routes, but dropping a ball, no.
Kirk Cousins had a little bit more consistent ball placement than Drew Lock did.
Some of those balls were placed perfectly, and Jerry still dropped them.
But here's an interesting thing. We talk about what would happen, what would you expect to happen if there were no OTAs? You'd expect more execution and mental mistakes, right?
Yeah.
So let's take a couple of ways in which those would bear themselves out. Drops and missed tackles. Right? Yep. What if I told you that both of those dropped last year relative to 2019? Even though you didn't have any OTAs.
With the exception of two rookie wide receivers in the NFL named Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler.
Yeah, on a league-wide basis, the drop rate improved,
right?
The missed tackle rate improved. And this is the thrust of the NFLPA's argument and J.C. Treader's argument, and it's happening in an environment where you're adding a regular season game. The NFLPA wants to use this as a moment where they cut off-season work, because their view is guys were still able to learn schemes virtually, checking in via Zoom from wherever they wanted to be. Some guys were in town. Some guys were in Florida. I mean, I'm sure, you know,
it is voluntary.
Yes.
Unless you're Mike Shanahan and you're the head coach, and then voluntary is code for you better be there.
And I can tell you that from working from the team, when everybody would gather for the start of training camp and they had the big team-wide meeting, one of the first things that Mike Shanahan or Greek, the longtime trainer, Steve Antonopoulos, would point out were the guys who had 100% attendance. Want to shout out to, just kind of rattle them off. You know, Rod Smith, you know, he was always 100%.
Let's just take this a step further.
That was a big deal to Mike.
Let's take this a step further. There was no such thing as voluntary media sessions either. But Mike knew who was and who wasn't there for his own press conferences. So how do you think he treated his players?
Yeah.
Right? Coming up after the break, Rocky Mountain Showdown. Are you ready to rumble again with about a 3-4 year break in between games? It is coming back. We got a schedule. Are you pumped? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. You can also reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to mightyph.com.
All right, Colorado, Colorado State jointly announced a 6-game series for the Rocky Mountain Showdown. And this is the way it is going to play out. They're going to play back-to-back games, 2023, 2024, start in Boulder, go to Fort Collins. Take a 4-year, a 3-year hiatus of 25, 26, 27, 28, make that a 4-year hiatus. Then they play in Fort Collins. Next year, 2030, they play in Boulder. Take a 2-year hiatus. Then they play in Boulder, then Fort Collins. Then take a 2-year hiatus. Then Boulder and Fort Collins. How much do you think the news of the renewed Rocky Mountain Showdown registers around here?
If you're a diehard CSU fan, I think it registers to a reasonable degree.
Are there diehard CSU fans?
There are some, yes.
Not like many, all 20 of them?
Oh, come on.
Come on.
There are more than 20 CSU diehard fans.
Yeah, right.
Listen,
we're a CSU radio affiliate. I understand. Come on.
Listen, there are fans, but diehards? Come on. Live and die by CSU recruiting? Come on. You got a brand new stadium and you can't sell it out. Sorry.
Well, the team hasn't been much good recently.
It's a new stadium.
Selling out when they were beating Arkansas a few years back.
I like CSU, I like CU.
You know, Jerry Jones has literally been to Canvas Stadium.
I did not know that.
Yeah, when Arkansas played CSU, Jerry Jones, of course, is a big Arkansas alum and booster, and he took his private jet up to Fort Collins to go watch the CSU Rams upset the Hogs.
What do I think about CSU football? I would have loved to have been here during the Sonny Lubick days.
Well, yeah.
Would have loved to have been here. That was a football team, right?
You came in on the end of the Sonny Lubick era, right?
I did.
It wasn't quite the same as it was in the 90s. I mean, the 90s, they were legit. I mean,
right. CSU and CSU were great.
I had been around in 1994 when CSU was going down to Arizona and beating the Arizona Wildcats, that great Desert Swarm defense.
But it's an afterthought. You can't even sell at the Rocky Mountain Showdown in the state of Colorado, where both schools have the name Colorado in their name, and they're both state schools.
I mean, and they're not even playing every year. I mean, this is what I don't get. All right. Just take a look around college football at interconference rivalries, okay? Clemson and South Carolina play every year.
Two major programs.
Louisville and Kentucky play every year.
Two major programs.
Florida and Florida State play every year.
All due respect to the Mountain West, it's not a major conference. It's not. Certainly not a Power Five. But
what is CU clinging to here? They can't.
They're play, a Pac-12 school.
They can't play CSU every year. I mean, it's a team in your backyard,
right?
FBS.
It's a no win situation for them. State. I don't blame them for not wanting to play Colorado State. You win, you're supposed to. You lose, oh my God, you lost to Colorado State. You lost to a Mountain West school.
And what has CU done football wise in the last decade?
It's not the point. It's not even the point.
I mean, CU shouldn't have any notion of superiority over anybody right now.
I'm not disagreeing with that at all. What I'm saying is they play in a major conference. It's a no win situation for them. None. You win, you're supposed to. You lose, oh my God, what the hell happened to your football team?
But
that doesn't happen with South Carolina Clemson. That doesn't happen with Florida State. Does it? I don't think so. That doesn't happen. Does BYU play Utah every year?
They do.
Okay.
And Louisville played Kentucky when Louisville's
in what conference again?
No, they're in the ACC.
Yes, but they are.
You didn't let me finish because that series has gone on annually for years when Louisville was in Conference USA.
And you know what?
And Kentucky was in the SEC.
In the state of Kentucky, which is technically in the South, but it's not the deep South like Georgia or Mississippi, football means something in the state of Kentucky. They have nothing else going on.
Doesn't mean as much as basketball.
Do they even have a pro team in the state of Kentucky? I don't think they do.
I mean, you've got
AAA baseball.
You've got the suburbs of Cincinnati that are in Kentucky. I mean, but
Nice try.
I mean, Louisville probably should have an NBA team.
Well, but they don't.
They have a gorgeous arena.
It's all college all the time out there.
Yeah.
Just like in Mississippi and Alabama. They don't have pro sports teams.
Basketball is
Division I football. Yeah.
That away.
Intramurals, brother.
So I'm looking here at at some of CU's non-conference schedules, okay?
Yeah.
Like they're going to play in 23 and 24, they're not going to play again until 29. So from 25 to 28 they're not playing.
Who are they playing next year?
Okay. Next year they're playing Northern Colorado, Texas A&M, Minnesota out of conference.
Good. You know why Northern Colorado's good? Because it gives you exposure. You know you said that all
Wait.
The
It gives exposure.
Hold on. I'll tell you something. Your boy, who I like very much as well, Roy Williams used to say this all the time with Kansas basketball. We want to play Emporia State. We want to play Pittsburgh State because we want to give them exposure because they are playing us. And you know what? I think it's.
Didn't he play Emporia State like every year in an exhibition.
I'm telling you, I cover the team.
Yeah,
what Roy Williams
like
used
Washburn
to,
sometimes.
No, well, no, Washburn's at a much lower. The Ichabods are really good for their level.
Like but they play him like in the exhibition games every.
Roy Williams would always play a Kansas school outside of Kansas State to give them exposure. I think it's great they're playing Northern Colorado because Northern Colorado gets to play on a big stage. They don't have to travel very far. I think it's terrific.
How many games are there in a basketball season? I mean, I know
lots.
Yeah, there's...
This isn't apples to
apples.
There's
more than you have in football. You have the ability to do this. Okay, 2024, they're playing... Their non-conference schedule a year that they play CSU includes North Dakota State. Now, that you talk about a no-win game. North Dakota State coming into Boulder is a no-win situation.
Yeah, not if you're Dan Hawkins.
I
think they lost to North Dakota
State.
That's
the point. North Dakota State wins these games. That's why North Dakota State can't get anybody in the Big Ten to schedule them right now because they would go in and they beat Minnesota and they beat teams in the Big Ten. In 2027, CSU is not on the Buff schedule. Colgate is, okay? That's not a local school you're trying to give exposure to. Colgate from upstate New York.
Ridiculous.
The next year you play UMass.
Okay, I think there might be a difference. I'd have to check into the dollars on this because I'm not totally sure. When Colorado State played Alabama, it was essentially a roadkill game.
It was a guarantee game, yes.
That's right. And that's what it is for Northern Carolina. That's what it is for Northern Colorado.
You're paying them to come to you.
Yes, but you get to keep all the tickets. Right? You get to keep Colorado State is not going to agree to that. They're not going to say, okay, we'll take $500,000. They want more than that.
And what's interesting
Northern Colorado, hold on, wants less than that. Northern Colorado wants more money. Colorado State isn't willing to take less money. They're not, because they're in the Mountain West. That's why you schedule a Northern Colorado. That's why you schedule a North Dakota State, because you get an easy win and you get to keep all your ticket revenue, and you give them a couple million dollars and you're good with it. Colorado State's not going to agree to something like that. So they have the Rocky Mountain Showdown, and each school keeps the revenue.
Yeah, but they're not playing every year. And
I don't think people around here are that disappointed.
If they wanted the rivalry to be worth the damn, they would play it every year.
They don't.
I agree, Mace.
Thank you.
As a CU fan and a homer, I agree that even though I think we should whoop their butt every year, I would rather whoop their butt every year than just play random years.
And oh, by the way, at least Colorado is kind of doing it the Roy Williams way. Next year, it's Northern Colorado.
We said that, yeah.
In 2022, it's Air Force.
The back end of a home and home.
It's Air Force, right. And they also play TCU. That's a major conference, right? And then they're playing Minnesota. Or as they say out there, Minnesota.
Yeah, they've got Nebraska for a home and home.
Right.
They've got Missouri for a home and home. They've got Houston for a home and home.
I mean, think about this.
I think CSU, CU would be much more interesting and lively. And yeah, it's kind of a throwback type of thing here. But if schools talk about cost a lot, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we call it this. You know, if they were really concerned about cost, you know what CU's road game non-conference schedule would be? Air Force, Wyoming, CSU.
Got it.
Because those are all places that you can get to by bus.
Okay, and one more thing, then we got to hit a break. I'm going to give Colorado credit because they don't play the Alabama schedule. They play legitimate schools. They're going to be playing Minnesota, Big Ten team. They're going to be playing Nebraska, Big Ten team. They're going to be playing TCU, major conference. They're going to be playing Air Force, which is a really difficult team to play against. Far more difficult, I'm sorry, than CSU. But they're not scheduling a whole bunch like Kansas State, my team. When Bill Snyder was the head coach, Little Sisters of the Poor on September 3rd at home. And then you play the School for the Blind the following weekend. And then you play the One-Legged Jackrabbits, the team after that.
Before you pick on Alabama, to their credit, they've actually improved their non-conference scheduling because in the next few years, they have home and homes with Texas, home and homes with Wisconsin.
Finally.
Home and homes with Florida
Finally.
State. Ohio State later this decade. Right.
Well, that's
West
not
Virginia.
The way it used to be.
Yeah, Alabama has changed. They've got a home and home with Oklahoma coming up, but that's all the way in 32 and 33. And here's another thing
all
about
I'm
this.
All I'm saying is the history. Yes. I'm not. Listen, all I'm saying is the history.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You're used to Alabama turning around in that November bye week from SEC play and playing like Furman.
Right.
I get that. But they're doing better. Like even and to I mean Alabama even is doing better
okay.
on.
Okay, I didn't mean to say Alabama. I apologize. Okay. I'll pick on Florida. Their non-conference schedule next year is Florida Atlantic, Samford and Son, and then South Florida can be a pretty good team.
Once
in a while.
And actually, what's interesting with Florida is you look at their future non-conference schedules. They're doing the Roy Williams thing. They have a series with South Florida. They have a series with Florida A&M, which is FCS.
All right. What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Well, speaking of scheduling, the WNBA announced their schedule today for their 25th season. Also in the NBA, an outspoken owner has some thoughts that he shared on the expanded playoff and the play-in tournament for the NBA playoffs. We'll get into that next, right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Gonna make it bend and break. Say a prayer, but let the good times roll.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Listen, by the way, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Revive Performance for Men. If you've lost your confidence in the bedroom because of erectile dysfunction, get what you want so you can give her what she wants. Go to rpm-colorado.com. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, Mark Cuban commenting on the expanded format for the NBA playoffs this year, which will include a play-in tournament of sorts for the 7 through 10 seeds. So the 7 will play the 8. The winner of that becomes the 7 seed. The 9 plays the 10. The winner of that plays the loser of the first game. Winner of that game becomes the 8 seed.
I'm confused.
Mark Cuban says this is an enormous mistake. Is it the wrong year to try to do something like this with an already compressed schedule?
Maybe the compressed schedule is the reason that you try it out. You're only playing 72 games. And I mean, they did this last year in the bubble, and it basically added what? Two, three days to when all was said and done. I think it's fine. Now, in the wake of the Jamal Murray news, this actually could become relevant to the Nuggets because they're sitting there 4.5 games up over the Mavericks, who currently have the number 7 seed. The Mavericks, of course, have played better ball over the last couple of months. So if the Nuggets can't figure things out in a post-Jamal Murray existence for this season, they could be in that fiery pit of having to play their way into the postseason.
I agree.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, every once in a while, I just want to agree with you. Even if I don't, I just say I agree.
Or maybe you just want to move on to the next topic.
No, not really. I kind of like this topic, but let's move on.
Hoping the Nuggets don't slip that low, and maybe one of the reasons that Cuban had those thoughts is because his Mavericks currently sit number 7 spot.
Yep.
Moving on to the WNBA, who announced their schedule today for the 25th season in the league's history. They will start on May 14th. Should Denver have a WNBA team, and if they did, what would you call them?
I wish they did, because my daughter would really like to go to a game. And so it's kind of a selfish reason. But yeah, if Denver had a WNBA team, we'd probably go to some games in our family. What would they call it? Altitude's taken by a television network.
How about the Nuggets?
You've got to be kidding.
I just kind of came up with them by myself.
Oh, man.
That was totally ad-lib, no teleprompter necessary.
That sounds like what they would have called the Nuggets cheerleaders back in the 70s.
Right, the Rockettes, the Nuggets.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Really? NUG-GETS, the Nuggets.
Oh, boy. Ugh.
No? No good?
No.
Well, that's why shouldn't have a team. Can't come up with a name.
And revive the old USFL name, Denver Gold, perhaps.
Or not have a team at all.
Yeah. But there's one thing that I know has come up in regards to the WNBA in Denver. And we are, here in Denver, the smallest market that has all 4 major pro sports plus Major League Soccer. Then on top of that, we have in the area up in Boulder, CU as a Power 5 program.
What about CSU?
They're a little further beyond. They're an hour outside of Denver.
They're in the Denver metro in a roundabout way. They got the TV.
Yeah, they are. If you're saying the metro market,
yeah,
but
I am.
The general. Yeah, I'm glad you're on the CSU boat now. The point being is that this market is widely perceived in the sports business world to be overstretched.
Yeah, that's why I don't think we should get a WNBA team.
But that's part of the reason why you haven't seen a WNBA team here. And also, ultimately, it would be up to the Cronkies to decide that they want it, because they would have the first crack at it.
All right, so that was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, try before you buy. You can try out any of the appliances before you buy them. Can't do that at the big box stores. Not to mention, their sales staff is so experienced. When you're making a purchase like this, honestly, you probably have a lot of questions, but you need to talk to people who have all the answers, or at least a lot of the answers. When you have an experienced sales staff, chances are they have the answers. Go to Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break. So the Broncos are not going to have voluntary workouts because of COVID. What did player rep Brandon McManus say about that? And how will this affect Drew Lock directly? That's next.